right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the 91st edition of the Space City Nerd Podcast. Nine away from 100. We're already building up some good surprises. We're going to theme each podcast with a little... Well, actually, today's a solo cast because it's just me and Ryan.
Yeah, duo cast.
the duo cast.
Duo cast. The pilot of EVA... Oh, not EVA, freaking... Sorry. I'm freaking Gundam Deathside. Duo.
Duo, yeah. Right now they said EVA... What was the a couple of days ago? What happened?
Oh, it was so stupid. I didn't even know that was a thing. Well, anyway, apparently, June 22nd was when 2015 was when Shinji Ikari, the star of Evangelion, arrives in Tokyo 3. 15 years before then, the year 2000, that's where the second impact, when the angels came and all that bullshit. So I thought that was hilarious. I didn't know that was a thing until I saw some bunch of like nerd anime blogs kind of picked it up. I guess it's like some of the like writers kind of said that it was today. So I'm like, all right, that's kind of funny. So
it's funny. Well, while you're celebrating like that day, in reality, if it really would have happened, It would have been the day before because Japan's one day ahead of us.
That is true. That's also, if that would have happened, a third of the world's population is only left because of what happened in the year 2000. We're mostly dead.
Well, I'm glad. Well, aren't we in that, like that? What was it called? The that extinction era right now?
Oh yeah, we're in the age of the next mass extinction, because a lot of
kind of it.
Because a lot of people are, all the animals are dying. I mean, I don't want to be that jerk, but I thought I heard that like a couple years ago, and then a couple years ago too. I'm like, people kept saying we're in the age of extinction. When is it?
Yeah, it is cyclical. I mean, like, you know, when we were having all those fish dying in the water, and when we would have like
the bees are dying.
Yeah, that actually kind of scares me though.
Yeah, because they're a important link into the food chain.
Yeah,
if that falls apart, we're screwed.
No, it's like what were they? To me, it's like these tiny like species of animals that do certain things that no one cares about
or no one knows about
or knows about or whatever.
Yeah.
They're kind of just dying off, and we're just going to have like, instead of breeds of dogs, we're just going to have dog.
Yeah. Yeah. No
Labrador. No.
Yeah. Because we don't, I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a zoologist. Our friend Jacob, who we had a couple of shows ago, probably could speak to this, but, we don't know what impact those smaller animals can do. And I know Jacob's a very proponent of like, you got to save all animals, not just the cute ones. It's the cute animal syndrome. Just because dolphins are cute, everyone wants to save them. What about the freaking ugly ass squid that's more important than the sea?
But it's not cute.
It's not cute. So it's not kawaii enough. Be more kawaii, squid, so we need to go help you.
It doesn't help BuzzFeed get a bunch of likes on their like cutest animals. So.
Yeah, yeah. Mashable, BuzzFeed, I mean, come on, guys. You control most of the world's eyeballs when it comes to social media. Do something responsible with it.
You know, it's really funny. It's like, I was comparing that, like, years ago, like, in elementary and, like, junior high and stuff like that. The stuff that you know, we go on and we're like, you won't believe your eyes when you see these, like, animals that are ugly and stuff. I remember when we used to have encyclopedias in the classroom.
Okay.
Like, and you would just like pull one out and you would go through it and just find all these weird facts.
Yeah, I remember those. I like those a lot because like I used to be so like, I mean, I still love books, but I like little fact books when I was a kid to be like the Guinness Book of World Records. So like on this day, blah, 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 which kind of kills it now because I can just look up shit on my phone.
Yeah.
But so the wonder is gone.
What do they have? The not Ranger Rick. those were kind of cool though, because they came with like the fat cards and stuff like that.
There's that animal, like, was it like zoo animals or whatever that
yeah, zoo animals.
Yeah, it's like you see the infomercial every night, and they have like a they'll have like the monkey edition, the elephant edition.
Those are so neat.
Those are really cool. And then, you know, you get like one every month, and you learn all about that animal every month, and you get, it's kind of weird that
you know what I learned in like fourth grade.
What up?
The definition of sextant.
What's a sextant? It's like six or something.
Sextant? No, it's that thing that, you know, helps navigate.
Oh, you know? Okay.
But the reason I remember it is because I was such a perv, and I used to go grab the dictionaries and read up like sex, and like, hey, look, it's sex. And sextant was right underneath it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, so, oh, what's a sextant? Okay, it might be related to this next word.
Oh, man, it's like I could use this in my perverse arsenal of words and stuff. So.
Like, your mama had a sextant yesterday.
Oh, to be a kid again.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the things that kind of bothers me when I'm... That doesn't really bother me when I grow up. There's, like, not a lot of wonder anymore. And that's why I like still learning new things. I like that wonder. That's why we like science. Because we're not scientists, but we like to be like, oh, that's really cool. That childlike wonder, that's something we really need as adults.
I know, and people like, you know, Bill Nye and... Dr. Oz, they still inspire us with their, you know, wonderful things.
Dr. Oz?
Yeah. All that magical fat burners and, okay, like, detoxers.
Okay. I actually met him. When I used to work for the TV station, he had a Q&A with the people like in the actual TV station, and then I took a picture with him, and I got his book that says like the instruction manual, and it's about, you know, living healthy life.
Did he look like the Green Goblin or Willem Dafoe?
He looks like he kind of does. He kind of looks like a young, less mutated Willem Dafoe. Speaking of which, okay, so just completely different subject. I know we were before the show we were talking about that little kid, Todd, whatever. He's going to be the new Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
I don't really have any opinion with him. I guess he looks the part. He's gonna be a teenager, and I made a comment about him being British, and all our superheroes are British now. Anyway, so speaking of Willem Dafoe, I mean, there are rumors that Matthew McConaughey might be Norman Osborn.
I hate Matthew McConaughey.
Well, yeah. All right.
I don't know why. It's just one of those things.
You just can't
stand
the look of his face.
I can't stand his acting. I think it was, I forgot what movie it was. I think it was like that Sahara movie.
Oh, okay, when
I saw him and I just like, I can't stand this guy. And I just turned it off because of him.
I don't hate him. But he, it's funny because when you mentioned Norman Osborn, I kind of looked at him, kind of squint my eyes, tilt my head a little bit. I'm like, yeah, kind of looks like a more handsome Willem Dafoe.
I don't know. It's gonna be kind of weird though, because he does, like, the new kid looks like a little kid.
Well, he has to be. They want a Spider-Man to be for like 15-16, right? Just high school age.
Yeah So what, Tobey Maguire wasn't 15 or 16?
Yeah, Tobey Maguire is like close to 40 now probably. Remember that, kids? Like the first Spider-Man, not the amazing, the first Spider-Man movie came like 2002, right?
Somewhere around there. Yeah it's, man, been so long.
That's 13 years ago. That kid who's playing Spider-Man is probably like 3 when that came out.
I hope these superhero movies like bring Shia LaBeouf on as a villain sometimes.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf. Have you?
Sorry. He's got like the villainous like psyche now.
Yeah,
you know?
he is, and he's really buff now. So he's like, I mean, yeah, he has that muscle, so he could be like one of those
if he got really buff already, he's already like, his name is a villainous name already. Shit, he's the buff.
The buff. Isn't that like buff. Shia LaBeouf? Isn't that, does that mean the beef in French?
I don't know. I don't speak French.
Yeah. So, okay, quick. What Spider-Man villain do you think he could be?
Doc Ock, actually.
Doc Ock, Shia LaBeouf. That's actually not an ironic answer. That's actually a really, really good answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that or
Mysterio.
You can have him. No, I was gonna say Chameleon.
Chameleon, yeah. Yeah, I don't
Since
see.
He likes to pretend to act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see. I really like Electro. Didn't I like kind of like what they did with Jamie Foxx, but I like him as a character. I don't know if Shia LaBeouf can make a little edgy Electro.
I like Amazing Spider-Man 2 Electro. Not as canon Electro.
Okay.
But as its own character, he was really cool.
Yeah, the only thing that bothered me about that movie was the 90s rap rock thing that was playing whenever Electro was around.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, I hate you.
I thought that was okay. The thing that bothered me was like the dubstep when he would go in through the currents or whatever.
That also bothered me. And I'm like, he is not a musical villain. He has control of electricity. And I really, his character was kind of weird. Especially played by Jamie Foxx does not look like a meek guy. So,
did you say like a meat?
Meek, M-E-E-K.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, so that kind of took me out of it. Maybe I guess that's why I'm not into that Electro. Even though Electro is one of my favorite villains for a Spider-Man.
You know, he would have played Sandman well.
Oh, he would play Sandman very well, very very well.
Yeah. So, man, all these would have better choices. We need to run Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Feige, remember, we're available. Or Feig. I am so sorry I mispronounced your name. Kevin Feig, please, please. This is my apology, and please hire us.
It doesn't matter. Let's get Illuminati tattoos, and we'll be in.
We'll direct the next Spider-Man.
Man, 2018. That seems like a long time.
But it's 2016 is next year.
Yeah.
2016 is when we'll get Civil War, and he's going to show up.
Man, that's so crazy.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know, as Spider-Man, or maybe at some capacity, but he's rumored to show up.
Yeah, I heard, probably an after credit, or just maybe him.
Yeah, just walking around, and it'd be like, Peter, blah, 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 blah.
I thought they said that the next Spider-Man isn't going to have a backstory.
Yeah, that's true.
So he might be one of the heroes that gets arrested or something, and they'll be like, yeah, this young whippersnapper was caught swinging around.
Yeah, and he had a mask on, a jerk. And then we have what you call it. I want to see what they do with J. Jonah, just because, I don't know, they're going to go with what's his name again.
They have to. He's perfect.
Yeah. He's
like the spitting image.
Yeah.
So I know everybody's talking about Jurassic World. I haven't seen it.
I've seen it. I give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10? All right. Yeah. So decent.
It's decent. It's not the greatest.
Was it worth dethroning the Avengers?
Okay. And I mentioned this on the podcast before. Avengers, to me, was a good movie, not a great movie. And if we're going to treat the MCU like a show, this is one of the weaker episodes, but I'm still glad it happened. I think they're on the even level for me. I'm like, hey, that's pretty I was entertained. But and Jurassic World was kind of predictable. I did like a lot of the fan service because I'm like, hey, I remember that. Hey, I remember this. So I enjoyed it. There's a lot of deaths there that some people getting killed that I'm like, why did they have to die that way? But I mean, I like it.
Hey, and is there no Wayne Knight in it?
No Wayne Knight in it.
Oh,
no, not even. I really wish that they had like a throwback to you didn't say the magic word. They have some hipster guy that's kind of the computer guy. Mr. DNA is back.
Yeah, but it's still not Wayne Knight.
I know, not Wayne. He died.
So they could have brought him back somehow.
Apparently, and I did not see, and I did not catch this because I was not like keeping a look out on it. The sign that he crashes into in Jurassic Park is still there in Jurassic World, and they passed it. You know, he crashes Jeep, and then that little Spinosaurus, Dilophosaurus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that where he crashes Jeep, the stuff was still there, and they passed it. I'm like, I didn't catch it, but they said so. I was watching a thing about Jurassic Park Easter eggs. Yeah,
interesting.
It lead a lot on the first Jurassic Park. I'm like, it's like, hey, remember Jurassic Park? They didn't really reference Lost World or Jurassic Park 3.
But Lost World and 3 were better than the first one. No, they weren't.
I was gonna say. I also did not see as like Sam Neill and Dr. Malcolm that wasn't there. So yeah. I kind of wanted to see them, whatever. And then what the I forgot the name of the female doctor.
Well, man, I am so bad with names.
I know, like, I could see her in my head, and I'm like, yeah, that guy.
Dun, dun. You know what's really funny is like, if I ever watch an anime, I get so lost.
Why? Because you can't know who's who.
I don't remember their names.
Oh, well, they could just like Sailor Moon is like that blue haired girl.
Well, no, like I forgot what anime I was watching. Someone told me to watch that. I watched that Gurren Lagann, which maybe because I'm too old school or whatever, but I was kind of like, this is not what, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But I couldn't keep up with names because I hate to sound like racist on this, but a lot of like Japanese names sound the same to me.
Oh, okay. I mean,
you know,
like, that's like kind of like old school anime when they have like they always have the 5-man group or the 5-woman group, and they all have, they're all like the leader, the smart one, the strong one, the angry one, you know. So you can kind of have that for like Drone Warriors have the same, that the same, they're the same way. Sailor Moon is the same way. Yu Yu Hakusho, Dragon Ball.
I know. I'm just awful with names. Seriously,
they fall in the same stereotype, which, you know, that's what they have. That's basically what they have. Yeah, they're pretty women, you know.
So a couple of shows ago, we talked about CSI Cyber. Were you able to check some of it out?
Oh, I wasn't. I couldn't find any. I think I was waiting for it to be in the Hulu. Did you see any?
No. I feel so upset.
I would need to watch that.
We got to do this. We got to sit down and all watch it together.
Yep. Maybe we could do a recording and then release it as a a supplementary podcast of us, like, watch CSI Cyber with us.
James Vanderbeek, though, man.
And Patricia Arquette, which I forgot that she was, you know, around.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the whole thing with Batman Arkham Knight for the PC?
Oh, my God. So okay. So let me get this straight. Correct me if I'm wrong. Rocksteady contracted some company to create the PC version. They're working on it on Unreal 3, and it maxes out at 30 frames per second?
Yep.
Oh, that's horrible. Rocksteady, come on.
Not only that, but it inflates the memory usage to up to 16 gigabytes.
What the fuck? So it inflates it, or is it a leak?
It's a leak, basically.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, it's going to use 16 gigabytes of your memory if you haven't.
I don't even have 16 gigabytes. I need to update my computer. I told people on the show that I'm going to update it once freaking I can VR in, and I can actually be the Batman. But that's awful, because like at PC you're supposed to get like the optimal experience, and now the people are shafted, and how are they going to fix it?
No, they don't know. I mean, that's what happens with PC a lot. You know, you would think that writing for PC and going to console is better,
right?
But no, people write for the consoles first and then port it out to PC. And since, you know, consoles don't have as much memory or whatever, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I know a lot of games like are they kind of have PC secondary because they know their audience is going to be on the console, so they optimize for it, which is kind of lame that they kind of shafted the PC gamers like that.
Yeah. And so I was reading this, and it's like they have no patch planned out to fix all this stuff.
They can't. It was on Unreal 3, so they're using older architecture, so they have to redo the game.
Exactly. So, and that's what happened with the last Batman. What was it? Origins.
Oh, was it? It was the same issue in Origins. I skipped Origins because I heard lukewarm reviews and I was like, eh.
Yeah, and then apparently, like with the Steam refunds, hold on, let me see this. Yeah, it's really hard to get it's really hard to get a refund now for it.
Oh, really? Why? Even though it was like, if I was like, hey, I played 2 hours and it sucks, I can't just send it back?
Yeah, I think it's because they're having that many returns.
Oh, fuck that. Like, it's Steam. What, they ran out of shelves on their own?
No. But those things, like, they have to be processed by hand.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah, like, there's people actually processing all those refunds and stuff. They might be overloaded right now. But,
Warner Brothers, you're better than this. You release one of the greatest games in this generation, Shadow of Mordor, and I heard that reading reviews for the console version of Batman, it's fantastic. The Batmobile parts are kind of but whatever. But don't shaft a third of your audience. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, I'm almost out of my beer. What are you drinking right now?
I am drinking a highball, which is a highball's like you kind of take whiskey, scotch, and you take like the really like those big ice cubes, and then you put it on a highball glass, like kind of taller glass. I don't really have any, so I'm using a beer glass from 8 Wonder. And then I put a giant cube, well, it's a sphere of ice, and I put some scotch in there, and then I poured the rest of Topo Chico. So it's basically 1/3 scotch, 2/3 Topo Chico.
Why is it called highball?
That's the name. That's the name of the that's the name that's given, I guess.
Why isn't it called glass of water with scotch?
Well,
or glass of sparkling water with scotch.
Well, because like, but when you ask a bartender, can I have like sparkling water and scotch? They're gonna give you 1-to-1, like a shot of scotch and a shot of sparkling water. And then a highball is different because it's you're trying to make more of a refreshing drink out of the whiskey, it's like more water, but since the whiskey is still concentrated, it's still kind of get drunk out of it. And also, apparently, I don't know the science into this, but if you mix whiskey with like some fizzy water, it gets you drunker faster, and I'm feeling it.
Oh, Lord.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Metamodern Session IPA. It's real light. I think it's like 4% alcohol.
That's a really light IPA.
Yeah, but it's very bitter, very nice, very goes down clean. Mm-hmm. But I'll bust out the big ones in a little bit. I'm gonna go ahead and grab another beer. We're gonna go for our first break, and this is a really cool jam that I was showing Ryan before the show. This is called Osama Obama, and it's by a band called Lerida. If you get a chance, check out the video. It's pretty entertaining.
It's really, really cool. I like the video a lot.
And so we'll be right back after this with the Houston Gamers.
Peace.
So that was Osama Obama by Lerida. We'll put the Bandcamp or whatever on the link to the podcast. And with us tonight, we have Jacques from the Houston Gamers. Hello, Jacques.
Hello, how's it going?
Now, since we're not typing anything up, you can't see it, but the Houston Gamers is spelled a different way. It's G-A-Y-M-E-R-S versus G-A-M-E-R. And we wanted to bring Jacques on to kind of talk about, you know, what the Houston Gamers are. So, what are the Gamers?
Houston Gamers, we're a 501c3 nonprofit here based here in Houston. We started about 6 years ago, actually exactly 6 years ago. We just celebrated our 6th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, back in May. So we started with just about 30 of us, and we've grown to, 1,808 at the moment.
Jeez. 1,808. Yeah. You have 1,808 people in the Houston area. That's awesome.
And they're only Houston area, because we will boot people out who are not in Houston, you know, just so they don't look like spam or anything like that, or, you know, I don't know, your random T-shirt vendor that you have.
Yeah, just the fake people, the kind and, of like, the fake accounts.
And the only T-shirt vendor that's on my page is me.
I thought you guys were actually like elitist. Like, oh, they're not from Houston. Get them out of here.
No.
Like, you're from Dallas. Get the hell out.
No. And yeah. we actually have affiliations with Dallas. There's Dallas Fort Worth Gamers, you know, and that is one of the branches that actually one of our members branched off. Why can't I remember his name? He's gonna get mad at me. He branched off when he moved from Houston. He moved to Dallas, and he was like, I need to start Gamers up here because Houston's so amazing and awesome, da da da, you know. And he started that up, and they started maybe 2 years ago. Okay. I want to say, and they're still kicking, and we have a bunch of friends around the nation, like Phoenix Gamers, like Russell over there in Phoenix, who's the president of Phoenix Gamers. He's the best.
That's cool, though. That's expanded out to the network. Did you guys start it, or were there other cities that had this first?
Phoenix was already there. I think there's I'm pretty sure there's Chicago, and I want to say Seattle. Gamers. Well, for sure, Australia, you know, because I see their stuff that they do during their pride and so on and so forth, you know. But as for how we're organized, we're actually the largest in the nation of our type, you know, and the only 501c3 nonprofit, because that was not easy to get.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool, too.
Yeah.
So what do y'all usually do? What are y'all like? Do y'all have like monthly meetups for the Houston Gamers?
We have two monthly. We have two standard monthly meetups. We do our what we call our flagship meetup, which is how we started with console games and stuff like that at a bar. And we also have our handheld meetups, because when we started doing our just normal meetups, they'd get too big and people would want to go, oh, I want to play our DS, or we want to play something handheld. And we just didn't have the space or the accommodation to do that all in one meetup, like from 8 to 2 a.m. We couldn't do that. So we branched off and started our handheld meetups. And those have just become just as big as our main meetups.
How many people do you get per like meetup, if I can ask?
At our flagship meetup, about 150 will show up.
Oh, nice.
Throughout the night. Yeah. We'll get a nice turnaround. And at our handhelds, it started, I kid you not, maybe with 8 of us on just drinking at Bar Bohem here in Houston. Mm. And it's grown to like, and this is a Monday night, mind you. About 70, 80 people will show up to handhelds and just fill out the place. And people will walk into this Vietnamese restaurant and like, what's going on? It's a Monday night.
I should just show up so I can just get some street passes through.
Yeah, well, that's what people do.
I was going to say that if you want to finish off any of like the puzzles.
Yeah.
There, that's where you go. So
definitely. A lot of our members. Yeah, go ahead.
What was the purpose behind, you know, founding the Gamers?
The process was, is about six of us were sitting around. I wasn't actually included on this, but about six of us friends were sitting around at dinner one night, and we're like, we all play video games, you know, we're all nerdy. Why don't we just get together at a bar and do this socially and not just independently on our own? Mm-hmm. You know, and we did that at our first meetup over at Coffee Grounds. Well, back on Bagby, back in 2009.
What about Coffee Grounds was like the big meetup back in like 2009, 2010. It's kind of shame it's not there anymore.
I loved Coffee Grounds. It was amazing. You know, but we started about 30 people there, and it was a very visible spot. You know, in Midtown.
Because when you kind of come into Bagby, that's right there on the left.
Yeah, and of course it's right across the street from Specs. we would have our meetups there, and people would, like, random people would come by and like, what's going on? And we're like, we're this all-inclusive like video game group. We're all nerds, you know. It started with, I don't want to say the gays, but the gays. But we're all inclusive. We've always been all inclusive. One of our bigger founders, Kimberly, she's our big straight founder. I'm stuck calling her big. She's going to get mad at me. but she's one of the founders, and we have this whole spectrum of just minds molding and pushing forward, you know, our organization, you know, year after year, and keeping it fresh. So that always excites me, because there's never a dull moment.
And that's the beauty and the you know, the key part of it. It's an all inclusive group, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys do some really, because we work with Extra Life a couple of times, and you guys helped us out with some of the events.
And Extra Life was integral in our just starting up and knowing what we were doing. Like, a lot of what we structured gamers off of is just getting influence from Extra Life and Camille over at Texas Children's Hospitals. And they're actually our main benefactor, you know, as a nonprofit. We do a huge toy drive every year.
Oh, very cool.
I love it. And this past year, we had the opportunity to partner with Discovery Green, with Rainbow on the Green, mm-hmm. and enhance our toy drive that way. So it opened up to the entire LGBT community here in Houston at large to go, oh, yeah, we can donate toys, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really been cool, and it's fostered a whole new relationship with Discovery Green. And just this past week, we had Rainbow on the Green. The other one was Rainbow on the Ice. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, wait, one of these is wrong.
So, so this weekend is Pride Weekend, and so it's super huge. So yeah, I bet y'all have huge, huge plans. What plans y'all have for this weekend?
So you know the theme of Pride this year is heroes, right?
Yes.
And you know we're going to come out to show out, as always.
Oh, man.
Oh, what?
No, in a good way. Like, oh, man. Like,
no, because like, I think like from the first time I think I ran into you, Jacques, you were wearing a Green Lantern outfit. I'm like, dude, that you're like the best looking Green Lantern I've ever seen.
Yes. Put together that John Stewart. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, John Stewart. Don't just say generic Green Lantern.
Well, not bad.
No, it's one in particular because he's the best. and brightest day.
So a bunch of the Houston gamers are going to be dressed up?
Always. Last year, this past, in 2014, was our first year. We've always done the festival at Pride, and mm-hmm. last year was our first time doing the parade, because we would always spend the entire day getting involved with people in the festival and just didn't have the energy to do the parade. And last year, we're like, you know what? Eric and I were like, let's bite the bullet. Let's do this. You know, let's get our members together. And I don't know if you saw how everybody showed out last year, or did you see any of those photos?
I did. Unfortunately, I did not.
Oh, you missed my War Machine suit.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, man, I got to look at that after this interview.
It was amazing. I'm seeing you guys some photos. You can upload for the podcast. So
if you were a War Machine, you have to go big this year then.
Yeah, well, I have some ideas.
Okay, that's good.
I have some ideas. I'm just saying. Wow, put me on the spot. There you go. No, but we had a huge turnout. A lot of our members did Mario and very Nintendo theme to it, and we had a Bullet Bill car, and everybody at the Pride Parade was like, oh my God, what is happening right now? This is amazing. Who are the gamers? You know what? I know who the gamers are now. You know, and that actually, we were actually awarded the Gayest and Greatest Award with Outsmart Magazine's Reader's Choice Award past October. We beat out Bunnies on the Bayou, which was really funny because I just became a Bunnies host last year, and the president, Jack Berger, he was like, he called me, he's like, so, gamers beat out Bunnies for this Gayest and Greatest. And like every year, we'd always be runner up, you know, two Bunnies. And last year, we beat them out. He's like, so, I'm gonna see you at the meeting tonight. And I'm like, yeah. Awkward duck, bok bok.
No, but you're telling me that I'm putting you on the spot. You guys have had the spotlight like since last year when you won. So.
Well, that's true. But again, I think the biggest advantage to my organization is we don't think of ourselves as being as big as we are. I actually had this conversation the other day with one of my members. Because I was telling him, oh, yeah, we're actually the largest in the nation. He's like, wait, what? Holy crap. Really? I was like, yeah, but we're from Texas, so we don't think about how big we actually are. You know, and if we do, you know, we freak out and go, oh, my God. But we still think of everybody as our own little friends because we're so that connected with every one of our members. Like, I can honestly pretty much name off almost every one of these 1,808 members. Because I'm autistic like that? I don't know.
There's 8 of us for Space City Nerd, and we have, like, 900-something Facebooks. Like, I don't know any of the 900 people, but I know the 8 of us.
Oh.
No.
We make it a point, like, if you've been to one of our meetups, like, the second you go come to one of our meetups, we give you a name badge. You fill out your name badge, put it on. You know, if you're brand new, you get a sticker that says you're brand new. And like my entire board, bless their hearts, they just make it a point to go, okay, you're new. I'm gonna drag you around to every single person here, and you're gonna make friends. Because a lot of, Inferno's gonna punch me, a lot of gamers are actually introverted individuals, and they don't want to socialize, or they're reluctant to do so. You know, and I am far from introverted. Like, I am the ENTJ personality to a T. And I have no problems just like dragging somebody, like, hey, so what's going on? What's the gig? What's the tease? You know, what are we doing today? And just like pushing them into like, this is our family. This is, we're all friends. We're all this huge community. And video games come second. It's community first, video games second.
Let me write this down. Community first, video game second, put stickers on people. Okay. We're good for our next meetup. There we go.
That's the formula right there. That is the formula. And then after, you know, you put stickers on people, you slap them down with some technology. So they stay connected that way. Because aside from, you know, just our Facebook page, we also have our gamers app. I don't know if you know if we have an app or not.
Yeah, I did, but it's not Windows Phone, so.
No, Windows, yeah.
You need to get a new phone. You need to get a new phone and stop putting yourself through that injustice of having a Windows phone.
I love my Windows phone, but that's for another day. That is.
Oh, not only do so much, but we're all. To be fair, we're on, you know, we're in the Apple App Store and Android, so we pretty much got most of our bases covered.
90% of people, yeah, except for Jesus over here. So, I was looking at technology. What are currently, what are the like the biggest games that are brought to your meetups?
The biggest games that we have thus far, like especially right now, I know is Super Smash Brothers. I don't understand it for the life of me.
It's just mash buttons.
You just mash buttons until somebody dies, but people love it. fun mashing buttons game. One of the standards we've always had is Rock Band, because it's such a social game. You know, Rock Band is always a social game that everybody can get into, that and Dance Central or just Dance. You know, and Just Dance on the Wii is what we do every year for Pride, like during the festival. That will always engage people, and that's what we want to do. Again, it's community first. Ooh, did my computer go to sleep? No, it didn't. It's community first. You know, you get people to come in, and then they go, oh, okay, well, yeah, I can do this. But what most people like to think to themselves is, well, I'm not a gamer. I don't play video games. I'm like, I don't play video games either. I play card games. I play board games. You know, I like to do chess and stuff. I'm like, regardless of what you do, everybody games. You know, that is my biggest mantra that I like to drive home to everybody is everybody games. I play softball. I do soccer. You know, it's still a game. You know, my mama likes to gamble. That's a game. She's a gamer. You know, everybody's literally a gamer, like, regardless of what you think. And, you know, a lot of us, our families and friends and everybody gets involved that way. I know my family, they're huge supporters of gamers, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah, and I mean, we are as well. And, you know, ever since we've been with Extra Life, we, you know, always try to have people come over to your side and everything whenever there's an event going on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to finish it off, where can people find out more about the Houston Gamers?
You can go to our website, HoustonGamers.com. Find us on Facebook. We have our page and our private website, which, you know, admins like me will accept you in. You can chat amongst the wall with everybody else. You can find us with our app, which is HG Meetup. Or on Twitter, where Kimberly is rocking out at Houston Gamers all day, every day with her scheduled tweets. God, love her with those scheduled tweets.
And once again, you have to remember this group is all inclusive, and, you know, also for people that just love to game, it's just a place to hang out with more people.
Or even people like me who are just people, blah, 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 just like to be around people, you know, because, again, I don't really play video games. And I'm the vice president, but that's what the rest of my board is for, to keep me abreast of. So this is a game that everybody's playing. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I got it. So we can play this game. I'm just going to mash buttons.
Well, Jack, thanks for joining us tonight. And good luck. Good luck this weekend. Beat the bunnies again.
Well, no, I'm still a bunny, too. I'm not going to beat them.
We love bunnies. We don't have the Houston Gamers on the show tonight. So I mean, we don't have the bunnies on the show tonight. We have the Houston Gamers with us. So
you heard that, Jack.
Thanks again for joining us on the show, though, and good luck with Pride this weekend.
All right, thank you guys.
And we're gonna go ahead and take our next break. This is "Calling It Off" by Shamir, off his album Ratchet, and we'll be right back after this.
Shamir Bailey, North Las Vegas. It's not time to get started. It's time to call it off.
a wife, no more basic ratchet guys. Listen up, I'm saving you from all the hell that you'll go through. Just can't make a thought a wife, no more basic ratchet guys. Listen up, I'm saving you, I'm saving you, I'm saving you.
So that was a Call It Off by Shamir off of his album Ratchet. And joining us right now, someone that knows too well about being Ratchet, is the High Pope of the First Church of Weboro, Drea.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course, if you heard our anime special, Drea was on there talking about stuff that involves weebs and stuff. And we brought her on here for a reason because we wanted female representation because we didn't want to sound like... and I quote, Drea called us fedora tipping bros.
Yeah, you're going to end up looking like the nice guys, quote unquote.
The white knights. You know?
The white knights, yes.
But no, this week there was some really horrible news out of one of the biggest conventions in Houston. A lot of allegations and a lot of things like flying around. And we didn't want to touch on that. We didn't want to get into the whole politics of it. But we kind of wanted to remind everybody that sexual harassment is not cool at all. And, man, cons are so difficult to control that, aside from controlling body odor. But it was really funny, Dre. You were telling me the other day about something that happened on Instagram.
Okay, so I've been working on this cosplay that I'm going to be wearing for Anime Expo, correct? And... Mm-hmm. Since the character that I'm portraying, she has, like, really big breasts, and I'm not, like, a big-breasted woman. Like, I would want to, or I could afford to. I decided to. Yeah, because, I mean, who wants to pay for that? Whenever I can just go ahead and make my own foam boobs, just to give the appearance that I actually do have, you know, cartoony-looking boobs, because that's the point of it. I mean, I'm trying to look like a cartoon character, not like a real person.
It's basically like wearing like Mickey Mouse gloves for your boobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. Think of them as like Muppet boobs. Like, that's what they are. Muppet boobs.
Oh, like from Avenue Q. Okay.
Yeah, or like Miss Piggy. Just think about Miss Piggy's boobs. That's what it is.
I will never think of Miss Piggy's boobs like the same anymore.
Yeah, like, oh my God, Dre. I never even thought about that. Okay. Moving on. Yeah. Go on.
Anyways, I decided to post, like, a progress picture just to see, like, you know, I don't know. I was curious what kind of feedback I was going to get. And my profile is not really private. It's, like, out there because I post a bunch of cosplay-related stuff. So I like people to, like, come and look at my stuff and see if they're interested or if they can give me pointers. So I go and post this picture. Within, like, the next 15 minutes, I started getting, like, likes. And people added me, and, like, it was, like, within the hour, I got, like, 50 people following me on Instagram. And that is, like, unheard of for me, because I usually just post pictures or whatever, and, like, usually the people that follow me on Instagram are people that I know from cons, or that I will eventually meet, because we're internet friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've seen most of her pictures. They're like try hard vaporwave pictures.
Yeah, like I'm trying too hard to be cool, man. That's what I'm trying to do. But anyways, I mean, I don't know. It was just really appalling because, like, you know, most of those guys' like usernames were really like overcompensating, like usernames. I cannot tell you like the kind of like usernames because it's not appropriate. Used to see what kind
I'm
of...
I'm going to go look anyway, I'm sorry.
What is it? Is it like Buff McCockbaggins and stuff?
Things like that. Like, it was just very stupid shit, like, overcompensating for, like, their manliness. And, like, every once in a while, I would go and, like, look at their profiles, and I'm like, dude, this guy, like, has pictures of himself, and he thinks he's, like, the fucking belly button of the world, and, like, he thinks he's, like, the hottest shit ever. And it's just some, like, you know... terrible looking dude that is trying to probably get laid on the internet. I don't know.
Jeez, why do you have to judge them so harshly? How do you... You don't know them.
I don't know.
You posted a picture of foam boobs.
Exactly. But how you're portraying yourself online is how you, like, come off in real life. And that's what people need to, like, think about.
Holy cow, I'm just surfing through your Instagram and, like, 25 likes, 21 likes, 20 likes. This picture, you, 96 likes. That picture, 341 likes.
Exactly. Jeez. And that is within, like, 24 hours. Think about that.
Oh, man. Are you still getting more likes as we speak?
It actually just, like, started slowing down, like, since yesterday. Because I posted, like, a selfie and I think people realized, oh, well... This is a real person, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you did a selfie for him. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
No, you gotta do that one where, like, what is that old, like, your knuckles reflection in the spoon and it looks like a butt? Just do that and see how many likes you get out of it.
I should do that. I am gonna start posting more, like, lewd-esque pictures of real
people. Oh, no. Or I had, like, two hot dogs and made it look like your legs.
Oh, the hot dogs are legs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. But I mean, that also ties in, you know, this is like internet behavior because
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of weird because most of these people are guys, you know, like, I mean, the girls that like the pictures usually like just comment on it and be like, oh, my God, how do you do that? Because, you know, whenever a girl is trying to do cosplay, they're trying to protect themselves so they won't be like, you know, bare tits in a convention. So most of them would rather use wear like a breastplate protecting their chest area so creepers won't go and like, you know, reach around or like they have a nip slip or something like that.
What if like one of these girls had a, you know, like a name like Big Boom McStuffins or something?
Well, that's different.
Would that be overcompensating?
Yeah, that's a little bit overcompensating. But like, it's like those girls are like trying to attract the attention of those type of guys. You know, like the guys that are liking
these. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. It's just different whenever like you're actually trying to attract that. You know.
Yeah. No. And that's. I mean, that attention is for an appropriate time. You know, it's not just. It's like guy. Like I was mentioning earlier, I would go into the dictionary and look up the word sex and laugh at it. And that's how I learned the definition of sexton, because it could have something to do with sex.
Do you remember the word before sex?
No, because sex was like the first word on that page.
Oh,
damn
man.
It. That makes me even creepier. But
what kind of dictionary do you have?
It was the Webster's Dictionary in like fourth grade, so.
Oh.
But no, I mean, all that, it moves on to in real life situations well, because like you mentioned before, some of your friends, you're going to meet them in life. And some of these people might recognize you at a con and stuff like that. And, you know, to face like sexual harassment at cons has been a big issue lately.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, myself and all the sailor boys, we got harassed constantly at OniCon.
Oh my God, man. That cool.
I mean, how is it for you guys? Like whenever you get like unwanted attention from girls, I mean, do you like, you know, do you just take it and laugh at it? Or, like, would someone, like, actually make you uncomfortable and be like, hey, you back off?
I have been made uncomfortable. I'm not going to mention the situation, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I tell my fiance, hey, please get me out of this. And she just laughs and leaves me there. Because she knows I'm going to get myself out of it no matter what.
Well, that's the thing that's not really talked about either. I mean, it's mainly about the girls. And I understand that because we're more prone to it, but this happens to guys too, you know?
Oh, it does. I've read a bunch of stories about guys also, you know, that are, you know, the more muscular type, because I'm not muscular at all, but, you know, the more chiseled type and stuff and having a lot of unwanted attention when they're cosplaying, whether it's, you know, girls that want to take them home or girls that just won't stop following them and things like that. But I can imagine just because of the ratio of, I guess you could, I'm going to say sexy cosplay for women to sexy cosplay for men is much bigger, or what can be viewed as sexy or misconstrued as sexy, happens a lot more for women. And I know they get that unwanted attention, you know, 1,000 times fold. And I mean, not only in the sense of like when you cosplay, but I mean, just being a girl in general at a con.
Yeah, no, because you could be covered from head to toe and you're still going to get that unwanted attention, whether you are cosplaying something sexy or not. I mean, you could be fucking like a Snorlax in a Kigurumi and like someone's going to try to grab you.
I do. I have friends who they're like totally nerdy, totally. I know they would love cons, but they were like, "Yeah, I'm heard so many horror stories that I'm not even gonna step into one." And I was like, "Well, yeah. So unfortunately, that's a shame."
Yeah. So, Drew, for guys to be not creepy, what are some things? So, what are some tips you would like to give guys? Because I can be like, treat the lady with respect, and then tip your fedora. And yeah, say,
open the door. Open the door for them. Pay them. Pay the dinner.
And then maybe in the long run, you might get something out of it for being nice. No. Dre, real. What are some things that you would want to let people know that have been a problem, even though guys don't really see it as a problem?
I think, you know, like, sometimes it's better to ask permission rather than to, like, later ask for forgiveness, you know? Like, mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand the concept of, like, you know, personal space, because they are used to, like, certain kind of, like, attention with their friends and whatnot. So they think, like, oh, well, if I do this with my friends, well, it will be okay to do it with a stranger. And that's not, you know, that's not the case for a lot of people, because you kind of have to have, like, I don't know, like, you need to be aware that you can make someone uncomfortable just by approaching them, like, the wrong way. Like, you need to be really polite about, you know, even trying to, like, ask to take a picture, because some of these girls, like, it's not that we're cosplaying for you, we're cosplaying for ourselves, because we're trying to portray a character. So whenever, like, people come and just, like, snap a picture for, like, no reason, in a really, like, awkward angle, like a booty angle or something like that, and, like, that's totally inappropriate, you know? Like, why wouldn't you ask me to do it? Well, we, like, it's like those creepers that do it, like, with their macro cameras, and, like, they're trying to get, like, a good shot of someone's ass. I'm like, dude.
Hey, Ryan.
Come on. I am responsible with my camera use.
Oh, yeah, but, like, there's a lot of people that are not. And then you, like, you go on the internet and you find all these pictures of, like, asses or, like, tits, and you're like, dude, I never, you know, consented on this picture. And that's really inappropriate, for one.
And, I mean, also, if someone tells you no, don't hound them. Or if someone tells you yes, take a picture, don't take advantage of it and, you know, do something else with it.
Yeah.
And what about, like verbal stuff? Man, I've seen it
so many ways, because, like, I don't know, there's levels, and I think people need to understand that you should talk appropriately at a convention. Like, you shouldn't be, like, out of hand whenever, like, you're speaking to anyone, because it's a family event, you know? There's kids there.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even though people are a little bit scantily clad, sometimes a little bit too much, there are public laws that they have to follow, and most of those people are following them no matter what. But that doesn't give you the right to go past those public laws and kind of harass them with, you know, asking them, how many orgasms have you had today or something.
What really bothers me, though, I mean, you don't act like that out in public. Why do some people think it's okay at cons?
I don't understand. Like, sometimes I feel like people think that being in a convention is like stepping into, like, a different dimension, and no rules apply there. You know,
that boggles my mind. No, it does. It's never mind.
You know why? It's because the kids are like, it's just like in my animes.
It's like, just because you see it in an anime, and just because they probably do it in Japan in some places, doesn't mean it's okay in the United States.
I am rolling my eyes so hard right now.
So in conclusion, do not be a creep at conventions. Ask for permission. Do not talk rudely to the ladies.
Respect people.
Respect each other.
Respect. And if you're working at any professional capacity, be professional. Don't
that too.
Yeah. I mean, just because that you're, like, might be in charge of something doesn't automatically grant you rights. Be professional.
I feel like sometimes people take advantage of, like, their power positions, that sometimes they feel like, you know, oh, well, I'm such a big shit that I'm gonna be, you know, I can get away with anything because no one's gonna believe you, you know? And then, like, all this shit comes out, and then, you know, I don't know, people start talking, and that's whenever it's just like, you know, you should have thought about what you were, like, yeah, what exactly was coming from your mouth before any, like, sort of, like, thing would blow up on your face. And that's really upsetting. I don't know.
And I mean, like, me with, like, Space City Nerd, I understand the fact that I must be appropriate and not talk about, you know, really gross stuff with people because of the fact that I have to be professional to get us to where we're going.
There's a fine line. And even if it's not professionalism, I mean, it's still like, you know, you're dealing with people that you don't personally know. Even though you can call someone your friend, doesn't mean that they're your friend. And doesn't mean that they will accept the treatment that you're giving them, even though they're trying. Like, sometimes it's really hard for, like, girls, especially, to tell a guy no. Or, like, to tell someone to back off because they feel intimidated. And I think that guys don't understand that because guys don't get that. They're like, oh, well, you know, I have the power to, like, get this girl to do whatever I want because, you know, I'm a man. And that's not right.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's really disgusting.
It really is. No, and it's like I said, we're kind of winding this down and everything, but I want to remind everybody, you know, like I said, don't be a creep. And if you are at a Space City Nerd event and people are creeping on you, come to any of us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure most of you guys know us, what we look like from our pictures, from our parties, from being out at conventions and all that. But if you have a problem, you know, come out to us. We'll make sure to remedy the problem.
Yeah.
Because creeping is,
yeah.
And I mean, like, to not drink and be with people that are like that with you, because it's happened to me a lot of times. And it's like guys take advantage that a girl is like a little bit drunk and she's a little bit like confused, and they do whatever the fuck they want. Like this guy, I was at Neil's. It was like he was not one of the usuals, but I could tell like he was like all over me because I was drinking and I was a little bit drunk. And this guy was just putting his arm around me. And he was like, you're my girlfriend. You're my girlfriend. And I was like,
was it that night that I went with you?
No, this was another night.
Jesus Christ, Rhea. You gotta, you need some mace. Do you have mace on you?
No. Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, I was, like, standing there at the bar. And I had to, like, back off to the balcony. And after that, like, he didn't, like, really bother me because I was with someone else. But it was ridiculous. Like, the people that come in afterwards, I think, because most of them come from that music venue that's right next to the
Warehouse Live.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that are not used to that area, and they just kind of end up there. So they think they can, like, you know, do whatever the fuck they want because, you know, they've never been to that bar or whatever.
And one thing I do want to say is, like, earlier we talked with Jack from the Houston Gamers, and he said that a lot of the gamers are introverts. And I think that plays a really big part into the whole nerd community because of the fact that I think all of us are introverted in some way or another.
Yeah.
For a girl to come out and to dress up, and even for a guy to come dress up too, takes a lot, you know, takes a lot of balls from all of us to dress up. And especially for a girl to go out, you know, maybe it's her first time cosplaying and she's, you know, someone that's very humble, doesn't expose her midriff, but she's doing what, like Katana or Melina from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You know, and to go out and have an experience where people are just going to be like nonstop harassing you, that's, yeah. I can see how that's traumatizing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So just like Jack also said with Houston Gamers, we should be an all-inclusive community.
Oh, yeah. I love the way, what he said, that it should be all-inclusive. It doesn't matter. Everyone should feel welcome and everyone should feel like they're friends with, you know, each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we normally don't end the show on a serious note, but I think, you know, it was appropriate for now, especially the con season coming up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But on, you know, thank you, Drea, for coming along.
Yep, thank you. And
also, stay tuned for Drea. She's going to be bringing back the First Church of Weeboro on the Space Ethereum Network soon.
Yes.
I enjoyed that podcast, by the way.
Yeah, so we're going to have our anime podcast up soon on the network. And also, remember, July 17th, we are going to have Doug Funny with Bitforce out at Alley Cat. Hopefully, you guys are joining us for that. There's an event page up. I have to fill out some details still. But aside from that, for myself, Ryan, I guess Drea, good night, Space City.